Thank you so much for joining me today. Lovely to have your company, as always. Today we are going to visit with Singapore Polytechnic, Singapore's first polytechnic to open. Can you believe they are 70? They will be having major celebrations in just about under a month or so, and they will have an open house as well. We will tell you more about that too. So today I thought I would get in conversation with their principal and CEO to find out what poly education looks like today, what the landscape is, what Singapore Poly has done over the last 70 years, and what they hope to do, and, you know, the fresh issues that might come up, challenges that they might face, because the world is changing. Courses need to change as well. Students have changed too. My guest today is So Wai Wah, Principal and CEO of Singapore Polytechnic. Wai Wah, thank you very much for making time today.
Thank you, Susan, for having me. It's a privilege to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure for me to have you come in and talk about Sing Poly. In the old days, when you think about, thought about, talk about Sing Poly, it was always related to engineering.
That's true, that's true.
That's not the case now, though.
Well, yes, we have courses across the 9 domains, media arts and design, maritime, chemistry and life sciences, just to name a few. And of course, there's always business.
That's right. So there's something for everyone almost. So I want to talk about that, the landscape, the evolution of polytechnic education, what it used to be and how it is viewed today.
Right. Well, Singapore has always been very acknowledged for our economic success, and we have visitors coming all over the world to learn about us. And of course, they can learn about our strategies, they can learn about what are the investment areas. But this is what an economic official has told me, someone from the Singapore economic official. She said that the polytechnic education is a secret sauce for Singapore's success. Other economies, other countries can learn our strategies, they can learn where to put their money in, but it is not easy to have a workforce that can complement a successful economic strategy. So throughout the last 70 years, the polytechnics, first with Singapore Polytechnic and then the other polytechnics coming along as well. But throughout the last 70 years, we have been the agent, the primary agent, producing a technical and vocational workforce that has powered Singapore's success all these decades. Now, for us to continue to continuously being able to do so, we have to always remain relevant. Relevant to Singapore's changing economic strategies, relevant because the external environment is always changing. And so that's what Singapore Polytechnic and the other polytechnics have been doing, constantly transforming ourselves. So for instance, in the last decade or so, the technology has been rapidly advancing, and the life expectancy of Singaporeans are expected to be longer and longer. So we know that every of our students that comes out may well have three careers in their life, not just three employers, but three careers. So this need to constantly learn, unlearn, and relearn is something that is very important for Singapore's continue to be successful. So the polytechnics have pivoted. And in addition to just teaching pre-employment trainees, that would be the regular polytechnic students that get our diplomas. In addition to that, we have been embracing training adults as well and teaching what we call continuous education training, or CET. So that has been a major change in the polytechnic scene.
So these are major changes, and much has changed recently in the last 5 to 10 years. This will continue to change in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yes,
as
indeed.
Well. What do you think is going to be one of the major changes that you think you will see?
Well, I think that if I may belabor the point about having to constantly learn, unlearn, and relearn, the major change is to acknowledge that the jobs that we train our students in today may not exist in 10 years' time.
Yes.
And the jobs they will do in 10 years' time may not, do not exist today. So really, it is so important that we provide them that ability to learn as an adult. And so it's not just about providing courses for adults, but it's actually training our young students to imbue in them that culture of self-directedness in their learning, that desire to actively want to learn on themselves, for themselves, rather than to be a passive learner. Mm. So a major change has been our pedagogy for our young students. We have, for instance, done away with lectures.
Oh, cool.
My lecture halls are now empty. We save a lot of electricity from not having to switch on the aircon. In lieu of that, students will now watch lectures on video anytime, 3 p.m. or 3 a.m.
Right.
Anywhere, they can come to campus if they wish to, they can do it on a train or even in bed if they wish to. And any number of times, and I think that's the really crucial bit, because in a traditional lecture, you come, you listen, and then if you skip just a bit, and you can't stop the lecturer and say, can you repeat what you just said?
Okay.
But in a video lecture, they can repeat that portion any number of times.
Right. Yep.
And that actually creates a sense of self-directedness, a sense of they have to be responsible for their own learning. And this, we think, is crucial not just for their regular diplomas, but it's crucial to inculcate a lifelong habit of learning and relearning.
Yeah, you're talking about learning, unlearning, relearning. It's not just for the students, it's for the staff as well.
Well, it is very, very true.
Too. I mean, you've had to change, you know, your career too, haven't you?
Indeed.
Yeah.
And I have to be an example of learning and unlearning.
Yeah.
My staff has to be an example of learning and unlearning. And so one of the messages I've been constantly given to my staff is they have to remain relevant. They have to remain relevant in order for them to be able to continue to equip a new generation of Singaporean workforce.
Yeah. So back to the point you had made earlier about not knowing what to expect in the future. How do you train people for jobs you don't know will exist? That's something we asked ourselves 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, there were no such thing as influencers. That's a job now.
Mm-hmm.
A blogger, that's a job as well, right? In 10 years' time, you'll have other things that will come up. So how could a polytechnic actually guide someone, whether it's a student or whether it's an adult learner, to prepare this person for an unknown future?
Yeah. Well, I think there are two things that we've tried to do in SP. One is we've broadened our curriculum. If you have been a polytechnic 5 years ago, you were just becoming focused on one single diploma. And at that time, I recall speaking to one of my colleagues, and he said his job is to train the students for their first job that time.
Okay.
But not anymore.
Yes.
So we've broadened our curriculum. We have included electives. We have helped develop a curriculum so the students can develop a minor, even if they should. And so that allows them to have a broader set of skills. We have also introduced what we call a common core curriculum. That is a set of skills that all our students will need, whether they are in the engineering domain or whether they are in the architectural domain. And these common core skills will be things like digital literacy and understanding the sustainability challenges. But beyond that, there must be a habit of mind, a habit to be self-directed, to take responsibility for your learning, and to be always have a curiosity of what's going on out there. And I think these are all critical elements that's needed to prepare our students for this new age of learning, unlearning, and relearning.
I'm glad you mentioned curiosity, because that's exactly what we need. Creative people are curious, a bit kepo, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that you can remain creative and innovative, and you want to be a critical thinker as well. Coming back from the break, I continue my conversation with So Wai Wah from the Singapore Polytechnic. If you have a story to share about your poly education, you can drop me a WhatsApp message. Our WhatsApp number is 963-11938. Stay with us. Changes to the polytechnic education here in Singapore, many changes over the past few years alone, as my guest So Wai Wah from the Singapore Polytechnic has shared with us. I mean, technology is just one of those things. How students gain knowledge, that's another major change altogether. And even amongst people in the workforce, there have been changes, and a lot of it has been brought on by the pandemic. You know, we could have wanted online lectures, but we said to ourselves, well, you know, let's give it 5 more years or 10 more years. And then the pandemic came along, and then we had to do this overnight. So wanting to get our students up to speed for a future that is quite unknown. So we talked about many things, and the curious mind is something that I'm very keen on, because I believe we must remain curious. We must learn to think and think critically. You have to be self-motivated, self-directed, and all of these things, because then that is just the first step to many more steps ahead. I know that students need to be trained, but your staff too, isn't it? I mean, why were yourself too? You guys have all had to make that change. How have you seen this work, particularly amongst older staff of the poly?
Right. Thank you, Susan, again for having me. Indeed, staff training is a major issue. And I am really proud of the commitment my staff has shown in this transformation journey. So, for instance, about 5-6 years ago, most of my staff, well, firstly, all of my staff are involved in the education of the young diploma holders, the pre-employment training, as we call it. 5-6 years ago, there will be maybe 20-30% of them who are involved in the training of adults and providing adult training courses. In the last 5-6 years or so, that number has increased tremendously. Now, about 70% of my colleagues each year are involved in some form of adult education. And that's each year. So not everyone do it every year. So across 2 years, 3 years, there will be way higher than 70%. And it is a different thing. They join, they sign up as a poly lecturer to train young people. And then now they've been told, look, they're going to train adults. And adults talk back to you a lot more. And adults can speak from their relevant job experience. So it's a tremendous challenge for my staff. And I'm really so proud of them for taking up the challenge. To be able to do so, they have to brush up on their own. And they have to equip themselves with more knowledge of the industry. And they have to dare to interact with adult students. And I think they've done so well, tremendously. I'm so grateful for my colleagues for the challenge and for taking up these challenges.
Yeah, to be able to give them credit like this, I think is wonderful. I have to tell you about a young girl I met just recently. She is a student of Singapore Polytechnic. She's a second year optometry student. Her name is Ria Tan. I told her I would mention her, so I gave her a heads up before today. But she was very clear about what she wanted to do as her diploma at Polytechnic. And she had attended Crest Secondary School before this. And the interesting part of Ria is that she's in her second year at SP now, and she's held many part-time jobs, and she made use of her holidays and things like that to do that. And it has been quite a journey, because she's worked at a music school as a counter staff. She's worked at Owndays, and now that's because she wanted to pursue optometry. She's worked at a marine offshore solutions firm. She's worked at F1 Singapore. She's now currently working at Mandai Wildlife Reserve. And I said, why? So many things. Are you trying to find something to do? She said, no, I want to be in optometry, but I want to experience what it's like serving different people under different scenarios at different locations before I start work. Is this the kind of student that you're looking for?
Well, I think there's a tremendous example of being self-directed. Here is a lady, and I'm so proud of her, not just having a very narrow interest of, I'm coming to poly just to get a diploma. But here is, I sense someone who is passionate about learning, someone who's passionate about acquiring different kind of experience, and someone who's, I hear you saying, serving people. And I think this is the really great part of SP's pedagogy, which is that we have 3 years of 6 semesters, and yet there is a lot of flexibility injected into the curriculum. The pedagogy is done such a way that students, if they wish to come to campus just 4 days a week, yeah, we will program our curriculum such that they can do that. And that creates that flexibility for them to manage their time and to pursue their interests. So Rhea is an excellent example of using her time to acquire all these other experiences. The flexibility allows another student, if he has another interest or passion, to do something else differently. I'm proud to say that some of my optometry students have actually gone on to study medicine,
wow,
in the university. So you really have a diversity of students in that particular diploma. And that says actually very much about all my diplomas.
Actually, that says a lot about a polytechnic education, isn't it? And this is the kind of learner that is the result of a diverse education at the poly that gives you the opportunity to learn at different places, different levels maybe, and to do different things because it allows them to, the curriculum allows them to. Share your stories with us at 963-11938. That's our WhatsApp number. My conversation with So Wai Wah, Principal and CEO of Singapore Polytechnic, continues after the news tape.
This is Our Town with Susan Ng.
Thank you for joining me today. I'm in conversation with So Wai Wah. He is Principal and CEO of Singapore Polytechnic. They celebrate 70 years, can you believe it? In Singapore, the poly, as well as the poly education landscape, has changed over the years, and definitely for SingPoly, over the last 70 years, they have evolved. They have certainly embraced new things. They aren't afraid to do that because during our conversation, Wai Wah talked about embracing technology, and not just for the students, but for the staff as well, giving students opportunity to learn at their own pace, to stop and start learning because now they do video lectures and things like that, and the lecturers remain available to the students to do that. In the past, we know what it was like. Currently, we kind of know what it's like. But let's talk about the future, Wai Wah, because yes, I'm sure that's what keeps you guys, you know, awake at night. The future of the poly education, we talked about that earlier, about how difficult it is, and not impossible, but difficult to put a finger on it and train people for what you don't know. What is the next job that will be the in thing or the it thing? What are your fresh challenges going forward, Wai Wah?
Well, if you think about what's going on around the world, just look at the weather. It's hot one day and thunderstorm the next. I think this climate change is a very real issue that's affecting everyone on the planet and everyone in Singapore. And so, like other government bodies, Singapore Polytechnic is seriously planning how we can reach our net zero trajectory. But unlike just other organizations, we have an education purpose. So on top of just planning for Singapore Polytechnic to be sustainable, we have to inject sustainability issues into the curriculum. We have to train our current polytechnic students about what does it mean to tackle sustainability challenges. And then we also have to help equip our adult workforce for the transition. People who have been working for 10, 20, even 30 years and have no idea what sustainability is. Now we will help them to maybe even take up jobs that are sustainability related. So, and beyond that, we also see ourselves having a role of helping companies transform. It's not just students, whether young or old, but it's also companies, helping companies to acquire, understand what is their baseline and what are the possibilities for them going forward to reach net zero themselves. Now, for us to successfully do this, it's not just about technical curriculum and formulas. It's about changing mindsets, changing mindsets of my students, and changing mindsets of my staff.
Yeah.
So the minds have to be changed, and it's not just about acquiring knowledge. So, as an education institution, Singapore Poly has set ourselves a very challenging goal. The government has said that the public agencies should reach net zero greenhouse gas emission sometime in the year 2045. I feel as an education institution, SP should be more ambitious than that. So I have said to my colleagues, we shall aim to reach net zero before 2045. Now, what does that mean? 2045 is like 21 years away, you know. And so for us to equip SP so that they can reach net zero before 2045, we need to be very aggressive over the next 6 to 10 years. And we are setting a, we are in the midst of a consultancy study. It will be completed soon in the next 1-2 months. Preliminarily, we are thinking that over the next 6 to 10 years, we have to get the job done by more than 50%. And that is the goal that we will set ourselves for, I'm sure. That within the next 6 to 10 years, we will reduce our emissions by more than 50%, and so that by then the job will be more than half done, and we will confirm these numbers in the next few months when we complete the studies.
And I wish you the best as you head towards that goal.
Thank you for that.
And so let's get a couple of comments in from our listeners. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one of them, Linus, actually one of my regular listeners, is a graduate of SP.
Well,
Sing Poly. Well, Linus, well done. Okay, you've heard, you can hear the principal, yeah, on your device. And he says that Sing Poly gave him the opportunity to embark on a very interesting project at the time. It was multimedia 3D visualization, and it got displayed in the SP annual exhibit. Wow, I mean, how wonderful is that? He was in the batch of students that had projects that developed automated satay machine and the I remember the poka drink, Linus. Oh my goodness, you were behind that. I remember these drinks that then went on sale in the supermarkets, and the the flavor was great. Linus, text the flavor that you had sold, because I remember it was very popular. So this is the kind of student that is a graduate of the Poly, and obviously, you know, he graduated some time ago, because he's talking about 3D. And also another comment that says the optometry diploma, he's happy that it's come a long way, because when it was first announced, people actually didn't believe in it. So you have changed. And here's another course that I think is very cute. It's called Diploma in Perfumery and Cosmetic Science.
Yes, indeed.
You know, I mean, these are the things that people remember. So Linus, thank you very much. But it's amazing that, you know, you're sharing these memories with us, but thank you. So his batch of students responsible for that poker drink, I remember that took the Singapore by storm at the time. So at the end of the day, it's not just about book learning. It's about students like Linus and other listeners, you know, who are graduates of Singapore Poly or other polytechnics, who've been able to make use of the information, the lessons they've gone through to bring things to fruition, bring things to life, make it real.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
And this is important in your next lap.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. And if I may, I will highlight one particular diploma that really emphasized a lot of skills learning. It's our diploma in perfumery and cosmetic science, as you mentioned. And this diploma is unique because it's in what we call a 3+3 format. We have 3 years of 6 semesters. And in all the other diplomas, they'll typically have 1 semester of internship and 5 semesters of classroom or laboratory learning.
Yeah.
But for this particular diploma in perfumery and cosmetic sciences, they really have only three semesters of classroom and laboratory learning. The other 3 semesters are actually very hands-on, very laboratory-based.
Okay.
They spend one of that 3 semesters on campus in one of our laboratories for the whole semesters. And then for the last 2 semesters, they actually spend their time outside of our campus in a commercial firm that is our partner.
Mm.
And this is the extent of hands-on learning that these diploma students go through.
Now, this is amazing. This is more than hands-on because it does give you the experience that you do require when you actually go out into the workforce. See, I always tell people, you know, if I'm much, much, much younger than I am now, this is what I would have chosen, you know, to actually go the poly route rather than the traditional route. And I think I see many students do this nowadays. And just not too many weeks ago, I had a story where polys are now admitting students with very low points from their O-level results. So that is amazing. Keep your comments coming in to 963-11938. So YY continues speaking with me after the break. Stay with us.
This is Our Town with Susan Oh.
Thank you for staying with me today and for joining in this conversation I'm having with So Wai Wah, who is Principal and CEO of Singapore Polytechnic. You know, the thing about a polytechnic education, the thoughts and the impressions people had in the past have vastly changed over the years. And I think because Singpoly, you've had the longest history amongst all of the polytechnics in Singapore, you would have lived through those changes and thoughts of people over the years. So just before the break, I had mentioned that I had heard of students with really low O-level scores now deciding that they prefer the poly route. And some people as low as 3, 4, 5 points are joining the poly.
Right. So really that reflects the changing transformation the transformation in Singapore. So when the polytechnics were first conceptualized, it was targeted not for people who are bound for universities. And that has been the case for the earlier decades. But really, in the last 20 years or so, increasingly, the universities have opened their doors to polytechnic students. So, for instance, about 50% of SP graduates actually go on to enroll and get admitted in one of the six autonomous universities in Singapore. And I think that's the beauty of the polytechnic education. It gives the students options. They may aspire to go to university and they certainly can attempt to do so through the polytechnics. Or they, even though they aspire to go to the universities, the polytechnic gives them the option of working first, because we train you for a job. And so you may have aspirational universities, but come to the poly, and you have the option of getting a job first and then going back to university after a few years of working. So this is the option that the polytechnic education offers. And really, for all students out there, whatever your O-level grades, whether you do very well or not too well, you should seriously consider a polytechnic education.
And many are turning to it because the experience is totally different. You talked about, you know, all the hands-on experience, laboratory experience, industry engagement, industry attachments, and I think people are quite attracted to that. So Linus wants to get in touch with you. We'll put you guys in touch because he's got some souvenirs that he has unearthed from some work he's done with a heritage museum, and he'd like to give them to you.
Thank you, Linus.
Yeah, and cassette tapes, and how wonderful is that? So this is great, Linus. We'll make all that connections, all those connections in just a bit, and a message from the author of the book that we're about to talk about. This is Koh Buck Song. Hey, Buck Song, it's been a long time. Haven't heard from you. So very good that you're tuning in today. Thank you so much for dropping a note. So Buck Song is the author of your book, the 70th anniversary book. And there he is saying hi to you.
Hi, Buck Song.
Okay, so let's talk about the book. As part of your 70th anniversary celebration, you've actually launched a very special book. I've read the book. The pictures are wonderful, especially the old pictures, you know, of your students and stuff. You know, I've interviewed your students. I've had the opportunity to interview one of the lecturers featured in the book, Fan Zijie, some time back. He received the President's Award for Teachers, and this is the caliber of teachers that we're talking about. So let's talk about the book as well as your 70th anniversary and your open house.
Right. So traditionally, we have published a book. We had published a 60th anniversary book. We published a 50th anniversary book. So what we really try to capture in this 70th anniversary commemorative book is the changes that has been going on in SP for the last 10 years and documenting some really interesting experience. So in the book, we talk about how we have pivoted to now provide training for adults and not just for young people. We talk about how we change our pedagogy, doing away with lectures, and then and how the students now, as they watch the lectures, they have to answer quizzes. So it's not just passively watching a video. They have to actually actively respond to quizzes that is posed in the videos. And how they answer those questions and quizzes become data. Because before the tutorial begins, the teacher will already know who got question 1 correct and who got question 10 wrong. And which question did everybody got it correct and which question did everybody got it wrong.
Right.
And so the design of the tutorial become customized according to the data that is produced in every of these quizzes that comes with the video lectures.
Wow. Okay. So it certainly has progressed to this point. It becomes a lot interactive. And you talked about self-directed learners and self-motivated learners. And this is one of those ways, isn't it, to get people involved. Now, if we have listeners who are thinking, wow, you know what? We'd like to visit you. You have an open house coming up. Yes.
Yes, we have open house on the from the 4th to the 6th of January. Really, everyone is welcome. You can be a secondary school student. It doesn't need to be Sec 4. You can be Sec 3 or Sec 2. Just come and find out. Parents, if you are curious, just come and find out. Look, come to our campus. It's the largest polytechnic campus in Singapore, full of lush greenery. It is the oldest. It's built sometime in 1978. It looks kind of rustic in certain parts, but I assure you, the laboratories and the machines, they are all updated.
I mean, it's a beautiful location, first of all.
Right, it is at Dover Road, so right at the Dover MRT station.
And right across from that, you can get into the Clementi Forest.
Indeed.
Oh, that is the most fabulous part of it, you see. So you go to school, you need a break, just cross the road, you know. Hence, why did the student cross the road to get to the forest on the other side? Thanks for all your comments. Okay, someone wants to know if they can get the book.
Well, it's in the interest of sustainability, we have printed only a very few copies. But really, if you go to the SP website,
it's available.
You check under publications, the SP 70th anniversary commemorative book is available for free to anyone.
Ah, it's free to download. Okay,
yes.
So for all our listeners, if you're keen on the Singapore Polytechnic 70th anniversary book, you can actually download it off the website, which is sp.edu.sg, and you just look under 70th anniversary. And so as we wrap our conversation, YY, it's been fascinating speaking with you in the first place, really to learn all about what SP has done, how you've contributed to the ever-changing education landscape in Singapore. You remain the leader, the trailblazer in many things that you've done, as you've done for the past 70 years. And as you look forward and you celebrate 70 years of education, poly-education, with your students and your staff in Singapore, what do you hope for? What are your wishes, your dreams?
Well, I hope that my colleagues will continue to be relevant to Singapore, because we are really not here for ourselves. We are here for the country. We are here for our students. And for us to be able to fulfill that obligation, we have to constantly learn, unlearn and relearn ourselves so that we can continue to be relevant to Singapore.
And to your students, past and present, what would you say to them?
Well, first to my prospective students, come
okay.
and
three
see.
Three groups, yeah?
Come and see.
Yeah.
Particularly, we have a special musical festival in March as part of our 70th anniversary celebration. Mm-hmm. Imagine a rock concert, open air feeling. I hope there will be thousands of young people coming to SP to listen to original compositions of very talented musicians among my student body. That is part of my 70th anniversary student.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And, so your past students.
And to my present and past students, every graduation I say to you, not just goodbye, but see you again on campus.
Yes.
Because the SP's mission to Singapore is not just to educate young people with a diploma, but to keep the adult workforce continuously trained for the ever-changing demands in the Singapore economy.
And that's the way to go, I think. And what a wonderful way to end our conversation today. And that is to think about, when you think about education, think about poly-education, think about the multiple pathways to success, think about how we can redefine success even. And I think the education landscape has changed to a certain extent that the definitions of success change all the time. And Sing Poly knows this best because, you know, 70 years ago, there was no such thing as an influencer or a blogger. And as the students also pivot to learn as they go, so do the staff. And I wish you, Wai Wah, your colleagues at Singapore Poly, all your students, past, present and future, the best as you look towards the next 70 years.
Thank you very much, Susan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks to all our listeners who've sent in all your comments. Linus, we'll be in touch with you. Buck Song, it was great to have you write into us as well. Congratulations to you to a wonderful book produced for Singapore Poly's 70th anniversary. And I've been in conversation today with So Wai Wah, Principal and CEO of Singapore Poly. If you want to find out more about them, sp.edu.sg for more information.